From Studio Live in beautiful Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Aaron Howlett. Thanks again for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond. Tonight's episode, we are talking Family Day, John. Family Day.
Yes, we're trying to do that. But before we should do a little recap on some things and stuff like that, we had our last episode where we got to sit down with, we had Blaine come back as a previous guest and talk about a little bit of winter foraging. And I think the conversation got a little sidetracked. we kind of went a few other areas and talked about of our past and stuff like that. And
It's true. I think we did, the intent was winter foraging, and I think we just got more into reminiscing about exploits in the kitchen.
And the old days of cooking in the winter and such. So,
yeah, it was still fun. It's always fun to have Blaine on the show.
Of course, of course. Anything else new you'd like to talk about?
Not so much. It feels like we just recorded those ones just a little while ago. It doesn't feel like a lot has happened in that time. I mean, I guess there's a couple of things that we can be talking about, but I think that's the next few episodes. We'll leave that.
Leave that all up to the episodes.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to bring out one thing that's kind of exciting news.
Oh.
I don't know if you know.
Oh,
maybe
no.
This is why you're looking a little confused. But it's a little exciting for myself and definitely for Trent and Sandra and the Atlas Cafe.
Oh, yes.
Is that they were just nominated, or actually they have just been confirmed as Business of the Year.
Business of the Year. Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Fantastic. I mean, you know, your heart swells with pride knowing that you're part of something that was just voted by the local
Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. And yeah, no.
That we were the Business of the Year.
So it's kind of exciting for us to have a little recognition and all that hard work that everyone has done and and this amazing business that Trent Sandra have set up for
absolutely
for us all to show our
ourselves. This show definitely wouldn't be here without them, that's for sure.
Well, exactly. I was thinking about how many other people throughout the community that they've helped, you know, throughout the years, how many caterers, how many, you know, people out there in the food industry, other industries too, that they sort of just gave them a chance to set themselves up and move on from there. So
absolutely. And I mean, I've worked many places where, you know, I've worked in massive corporations, you know, like Overweighty and what have you, big sort of national wide corporations. And they always make sure that they do a certain amount of community service every year because they feel like it's part of keeping up with their image and their PR. But I have to say, you know, that's one thing working at Atlas. I'm always astounded at how much Sandra wants to do for the community. And it's not for PR. She's just genuinely wants to do those things. She just feels that she's in this great position and this sort of favorable position. And she's in a position to help out other people. And she always wants to. And I've always been very proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a large list of organizations that we definitely throw our support to and try and pass on to.
Absolutely.
And a lot of restaurants do the same thing throughout town.
Like absolutely.
It's actually surprising. And I think a lot of people who dine out at restaurants don't realize that some of the stuff that they give back to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad. I mean, I think everybody, I was going to say, I'm glad that they were recognized for their efforts, but I think a lot of people have always been recognizing them for their efforts, but it's nice to get the recognition from your peers sometimes, you know, where everybody says, no, let's all take a bow for you. It's your turn.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I think it's great. Yeah.
Anyways, this is actually kind of a good way to segue into our main subject today, which we were talking about what to do for a show, and I thought, you know, we haven't talked about, well, Family Day is coming up.
Right.
Right? So this just before still Valentine's
feels,
Day.
Yeah, it still feels like one of those made-up holidays, but the cynic in me is like, well, they just made that up for whatever reason. But then I was like, well, you know what? We don't actually have anything associated with it commercially. So maybe there is some genuine sentiment behind Family Day. Maybe it is a good day to just, or good to have one day where we just set aside and say, no matter how much you love your family and take care of your family and are part of your family, this is the one day of the year where let's all just take a breath and just be with our families.
Spend some time. And I thought, what is a better way than around the kitchen table?
Absolutely.
You know, for me,
I think that that's part of both you and I, for sure. You know, individually, family together means there's some food being cooked. There is something going on in the kitchen.
Yeah. And we're both advocates of teaching our kids our craft.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
I mean, we were talking about it. Yeah. I set out a goal for my kids this year. I know that My kids have been in the kitchen with me. Well, we were joking around about it. My son's 9, and I know that he started getting excited about being in the kitchen with me at 3. Macy was 2, my daughter.
Right.
She's 11. Yeah, and obviously they didn't really start building any skills until recently, but I set out a goal and I said, you know, you guys have been in the kitchen with me productively for a couple of years. You know the gist of things. And I said, I'd like for the end of the year, for the end of 2017, I want you to be able to show me 3 meals that you can cook from scratch, from memory, that you don't need to, you know, whatever. And I told them, you know, they can pick the meals. They have to be things that they want,
right?
That they want to learn how to make. And I just said, you know, it's great to have some independence, and it's great to know that if something happens or if whatever, that you're capable of taking care of yourself in the kitchen and getting yourself fed, you know, and that there's not to be any pressure in this, and this is all in fun, and you know, I'm here to help. It's not a whatever. And they're already, like Macy's already, she's already, I think that was, well, it was only set out a couple of weeks ago, and she's already doing pad thai by herself. She doesn't need my help already. She doesn't need a recipe. She doesn't need anything.
You know, there's some adults listening right now going, what?
I know. Yeah. And same with, you know, and same with my son. They're both really into it. So, yeah. And I know that Michaela, your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She's definitely burgeoning into the kitchen a little more. I mean, you've always sort of had her there, but
yeah,
she's
getting into it now. Brought her along, and she's always been like Chef Association events. I remember we did the... Oh, what was it? Stone Soup.
Right.
We did that with Lush Valley and I forget the other organization. But we did this big fundraiser dinner and it was like, you know, I bring a stone and put it in a pot and everyone brings vegetables to go in that pot. And before we know it, we have a full meal for everyone, which is a great idea. So that's what happened. I remember bringing Michaela out to that and we were just... I had her rolling meatballs.
Oh yeah,
with Don McRae from from Custom Gourmet Catering, right? So she took Michaela and had her off in the corner, and she was rolling meatballs and placing them all out there.
Nice,
and it was just a wonderful little event, and she kind of got to pick up on that and that whole group event.
Yeah,
and so Michaela's always been one that she's always tried to make cookie dough on her own, and she's very determined that she can do it without a recipe or without measuring. She just wants to eyeball all the ingredients, and she has made a couple batches that have been edible.
Oh yeah,
she's made a couple that haven't,
right?
Because she gets a little ambitious about some of the spices, but I think she's starting to learn that there's certain things you can put in there.
Yeah,
you know, turmeric doesn't work with cookies.
No.
Well, I mean, there probably is a cookie that works.
Yeah, I was going to say, there probably is a cookie that lends itself to turmeric, but not the general everyday cookie. No.
Yeah, not a chocolate chip cookie. No. Turmeric.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's hilarious. And, you know, like I said, my kids, I'm always impressed and always blown away at how fast their skills are developing. But, you know, talking about family and bringing them into the kitchen, what do you do on Family Day? How do you do
it? Well, you know, I'm trying to bring in this whole family dinner thing for us, to have us sit down and have a meal together. And it's a nice opportunity for us just to bond and chat and catch up on the day.
Right.
And to challenge our taste buds a little bit. So, and there's always, I cook all day long, right?
Right.
So for me to make a decision is just impossible because I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
No, I did that. We're not doing quesadillas.
Right. Yeah.
There's no enchiladas at home. You know?
Not when you make 1,100 a day or
exactly,
whatever it is.
You know, so there's certain things I'm kind of staying away from. So we always have the battle of like, what are we going to eat? Mm-hmm. And so we've come up with this idea because I have quite a cookbook selection.
Right.
And I've got from amazing cookbooks to some very cheap.
Right.
Off the bargain bin cookbooks, which are, there's nothing wrong with them. Mm-hmm. So what we started doing.
There was always something in there.
There's always something. I catch a picture, an idea, you know? Yeah. So there's always something in there or maybe just a combination that you don't think about.
Right.
So what we started, so this is just something we've started recently, is I get Michaela to run over there and blindly grab a cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she just runs over there, blindly brings a cookbook. She brings it down. We sit down and then I'm like, okay, flip open.
Yeah.
So she flips open to the first page and we bookmark that page right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, well that's one dish, but we need at least 2 and then we'll build something around that. So I'm like, okay, so we flip open to another page in that cookbook and boom, we've got 2 ideas right there.
Oh wow. That's
so
great.
Tonight before we came to the show, we did it.
Yeah.
And it worked out great. It was actually a little bit, we did it. We try and do it because I only have her for a couple of days, right?
Right.
So, and then she's with her mother the rest of the time. So yeah. We kind of, I'd like to have on the Monday night, we sit down, we open up a cookbook.
Right.
And then she picks it out after we've had the dinner. And then we make that the next week.
Oh,
so it gives
next
us a week. So then we can buy all the ingredients. Make sure they're on hand. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just going to spill out.
What did you do tonight?
So it was kind of fun. And I brought a couple cookbooks with a couple that we've done before and sort of how it's going to work. But we did, this is the cookbook is the Power Foods, which is a great book. I really know nothing about this book. The editors of Whole Living Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Comes from theirs. The foreword was by Martha Stewart. So here is a nice colorful book, lots of presentation. And we did a quinoa corn salad with toasted pumpkin seeds.
Wow. I love toasted pumpkin seeds. I think I've mentioned it a couple of times. I make a toasted pumpkin seed pesto. It's my favorite condiment that I do for anything.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was quite a simple recipe. We made a nice a lime vinaigrette.
Right.
So it was with lime and chili powder and cumin and a little garlic and olive oil. Whip that up. I added a touch of sugar because I found it was a bit tart.
Right.
But that...
Yeah.
You know, that's just me playing with recipes. Yeah,
balancing it out.
Exactly. And then we did the cooked off the quinoa.
Yeah.
Let it cool with some rice in there. Toss in some... I bought yellow peppers.
Right.
I was cheap. Yeah. I saved myself 10 cents. You know? And then I got some scallions in there. And then I skipped out on the jalapenos.
Right.
Because I was like, that's not going to work with Michaela.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, what else was in there? And then some fresh avocado. Toss that all together and then just the pumpkin seed over the top.
Nice.
Yeah. And so that was the one thing. And then on the other side, we flipped over and I did an edamame bean and butternut squash succotash.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah. So succotash is good.
Succotash is something, and people are like, suckering succotash. But we're really just a sauteed medley of beans, right?
Right.
Is what we're looking at. Yeah. So, and I want to be honest, I couldn't find edamame beans.
Really?
Because this is something we never talked about, but Thrifty's has moved now.
Right.
So
as we speak, they're moving.
They're moving. So that's a big thing for the Comox Valley, a big thing for the downtown.
For our neighborhood. I mean, Thrifty's is only a few blocks from us. We live a block away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually the place I go to. I mean, we've got Edible Island still around, which is another great resource for a lot of local foods and stuff
absolutely.
Like that. But, you know, like it's always been that sort of key cornerstone and now it's moving. It's not moving that far.
Right.
But it's just not that downtown location.
Right.
And they've grown out of that building. I completely understand. But
yeah,
it's a sad moment.
Yeah.
And they have no edamame beans. They probably will at the news store, right. Which is open now that you're listening to this. So that was our succotash and we sauteed it all off. And nice chicken broth in there. Steamed all the beans and the butternut squash and just put that all together. And I was like,
wow,
this is fabulous.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah, that's just one,
one
little idea, you know, that just came out of, it actually came out of an idea from my dad.
Right.
Who, when they used to live down in Victoria and were young and didn't have kids and that, they put every restaurant in the phone book on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And threw it in a jar.
Yeah.
And then every date night they'd have
or
that free night they went out for wanted to go out on the town, they would pull a name out of that hat and then they'd go to that restaurant.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So that they got to go to every restaurant.
That's awesome.
In Victoria.
Yeah.
Now a lot of times they would pull out a name and be like
not today.
I'm not into Mexican tonight,
right,
you know? Let's not do Chinese food again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting thought and I thought I've got all these cookbooks and I don't know what to do with
it. Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. I on the other hand, we did an experiment in, well, not an experiment, something I'm very used to, but I involved them in the process this time where we had a whole bunch of ingredients that needed to get used up. And I mean, that's half my life is figuring out what to do with those things in the fridge that need to be used up. But I let them sort of explore. We talked about it last night. I said, well, we have buttermilk in the fridge that needs to get used up. We have some... some veggies. We had a little bit of sausage in there. We had whatever. We had a couple of things. And same idea. We sort of collectively came to the agreement and then rounded it out with some things that, you know, weren't utilizing ingredients that were about to go, but just sort of rounded it out. My son absolutely loves, well, I shouldn't even say that. That was to get rid of the Parmesan. He loves polenta. Oh, so yeah. I was like, well, if we're already making buttermilk biscuits, we don't need buttermilk biscuits and polenta with our dinner. But I was like, well, we need to use this Parmesan because it's really on its last legs and we need to whatever. So anyways, yeah. But and I'm trying to educate them that way because other people in their lives, I'm not going to name names or anything, don't believe in using leftovers and are quick to throw things out. And I'm like, no, you can use everything. You just have to be aware of it and put it to use.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Put it to use. So we actually had a really good dinner. We had lemon chicken and polenta and buttermilk biscuits. And I don't even know what you would call it, but a stir-fried veg almost without a stir fry. It was just done with some sausages. It was good.
Yeah. Well, I love this cooking with the family, being there together. And this cookbook's kind of worked really well for me. You know, it's because you have, I mean, if you're like myself, you collect these things as part of you, but I barely use them. Like,
right.
I really flip through a cookbook and see a picture.
Yeah.
And then that starts me going in the direction I want to go.
Right.
But this is kind of nice just to challenge me, you know?
And I was going
to
say, that's a little different for you than, say, somebody else, because you have a command of a large skill set. So all you need to see is a picture and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And you don't even just read it. You've already got it figured out what the process is.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not nearly where you are, but at the same time, there's definitely an element to that for myself too, where I'll look at a picture and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do something like that. And then I put the book down and I didn't even read it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, and this is a nice thing too, is like, I recommend, like, if you go into pulling cookbooks and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, and if you see a recipe that you're not quite understanding it, I mean, if you got the internet, Google it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when I'm working and I've got an idea for something, I will Google a recipe.
Yeah.
And I'll Google like six recipes.
Yeah.
And then I'll take all six of those recipes and I'll be like, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I don't like this idea.
I
like this idea. I don't like this idea. And then I can mash it to make it more into something more comprehensible.
Same here. Quite often I'll do the exact same thing, but I'm not looking to pull parts. I'm looking to see what's the heart of it. I'm like, what's the similarities between these five? Okay. So those are the key instructions I got to follow. Done. Now I can go and figure out my own place and my own way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's the joy of cooking, and that's the joy of that, is that you get to add your own little essence to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
I brought some other cookbooks. I don't know if you're interested in
For
some
sure,
of this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so funny. Like, my parents gave me this book, and it's from Princess Cruises, and my parents love to cruise, and so there's this beautiful cookbook. So, boom, I flipped it open, and the first thing is like a smoked supreme of duck.
Oh, wow.
So, nice duck breast, and it was with a Canis vinaigrette and some nice greens, and I'm like, bang, perfect. Yeah. That's our dinner. And then, you know, I can always add a rice or something to go along with that. And like
it, to sort of beef it out.
Just to beef it out. And then we flip through and I hit, this was great. Caramelized William Pear Tart.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, boom, there we go. Now I've got duck for dinner and pear for, and this is going to be a bit of work, but you know, it's really just a nice poached pear in some white wine, sugar, and lemon juice. And then I'm just going to buy some puff pastry.
Yeah, I was going to say a tart or like, I even like when you're talking about caramelized pear dessert, I'm thinking like a gâteau.
Yeah.
I love that. And people are so impressed with it. And it really, to me, it's not that much extra work to do that extra, go that extra distance, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so also I'm flipping through and Michaela hilariously grabbed
the book that you're in,
Island Inspiration.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is hilarious because I've gone through this book a dozen times. I mean, I think I've got like six or seven recipes in here of my own.
Well, you're actually holding a copy right in front of me. And it's looking a little threadbare. It's looking a little worn.
It's a little rough, but you know, and there's a lot of recipes that I haven't actually used out of here.
Right.
And so I kind of just like flipped through and I was like, there's a braised beef burgundy.
Mm.
And I was like, this is what I want to make.
Yeah.
You know, like that's absolutely a great one. And so good. And that was, who was that? Kurt's recipe. And there's another one here, Island Bison and Spinach Cannelloni.
Oh, nice.
You know, so maybe a bit of work that I'm going to have to make some fresh pasta sheets, but that's something I'm willing to go through.
Yeah.
And to have a little bison, and I haven't had some bison in a while, so.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets me going a bit, and that's a Renault St. Pierre's recipe. So, you know, it's kind of neat to have those cookbooks, and you know.
Absolutely. So for me, I've still been staying the course. I still buy a cookbook probably not, maybe about every 2 months, you know, and which might not sound like much. It's a couple books a year, but I've done that every year since I was like 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got quite an amassed collection. But I do find that I split my time now between my books and the internet. Right. When I'm looking for something, sometimes I know that I don't have a recipe.
Right.
And rather than say, oh, well, I'll just look for that in the next cookbook I'm looking for, I run to the internet. I'm like, hey, let me look up 3 or 4 versions of this and, mm-hmm. and distill it down to the essence and then go from there. So, yeah, I don't know. That's one of the things that we talked about, I want to say 15 episodes back. I wanted to start mentioning some of those internet resources that we're using.
Right.
Just because it's the way it is now. The internet it's the biggest cookbook there is. Everything you can imagine is in there.
That's true, eh? So, yeah, from high end to low end, it's all there.
And yeah.
You can learn everything.
Absolutely,
yeah. And if worst comes to worst, there's a YouTube video.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw my brother under the bus, but
it was a
brilliant, he invited the whole family over for, this was years back, but he invited a whole family over for dinner, or for breakfast, sorry.
Okay.
And he wanted to make Eggs Benedict.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And there's nothing funnier than me walking in the door with him and his laptop, sitting over the stove whisking to making hollandaise, trying to remember how to make it because he hadn't done it in years, right?
So right.
He's like, I couldn't remember, but there's a YouTube video here. Right.
Yeah.
But so nice. Yeah, those are the things. It's all there for you. So.
Yeah, for sure. But I think too, maybe when we wrap up this episode, once we post it, we should list out some of those books that you've got there. Other people can get those same ideas or those same recipes for.
And that's a great thing. Like you can always find cookbooks anywhere. And going through old cookbooks. And
I noticed you have some like from the 50s and 60s and even maybe earlier I've noticed. Well, I mean, there was a couple that you got a joke at, or got a kick out of. I remember you laughing when you were showing me them, but.
Like my microwave cookbook selection.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I have a huge selection of microwave cookbooks and they just make me laugh because I'm like, it's so terrible. But
yeah.
There was a time that was the way to cook.
Oh, I remember.
Put it in the microwave. And
right after my grandparents bought a VCR, one of the first VCRs in the market, they bought a microwave and they were like, they were living in the future. Like,
that was it.
I think it was 1980 and we were like, man, the future is here. And I remember my grandmother, she for a good 2 years tried to translate all of her recipes into microwave recipes, and she was an amazing cook and it just all sort of fell apart. And then she gave up on the microwave after that. She's like, nope, that's it, done.
Yeah, I mean, I understand there's things a microwave can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But roasted chicken is not one of those.
No, turkey dinner, no.
Anyways, maybe a raw turkey that's just come out of the oven that hasn't quite made it to the right temperature.
Yeah.
You can save that way, but I don't recommend it.
That's right. Yeah. Anyways, we should probably wrap this up, John.
Yeah,
we're going to go on forever here.
We could rant for or go on quite a while, but definitely just to cap up, you know, like definitely, you know, get out there with your family and do it together. Take this family day to cook a nice meal together. Just sit down at the table and...
Absolutely. And get your kids involved. I think that's one of those key things that we need to really encourage. And, you know, I take it very seriously is so many people, you know, don't know how to cook. And that can all be solved by just pulling your kids into the kitchen. We'll raise the whole next generation knowing how to cook.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thanks for listening to us. And thanks to our sponsors at the Butcher's Block in Courtney. Where you can find the finest meats and poultry and other local products. Thanks to the Atlas Cafe, as we mentioned earlier. So proud to be there and so proud of their achievements. Let's see, there's Ivan's Truffles is another one of our sponsors. Ivan, the handmade decadent chocolates that you can find at the farmer's market or at Atlas. And probably other places as well.
Many more places.
Yeah. And Kirsten Wood Music, thanks for your support, who she offers private music lessons. And Studio Live in Cumberland, where you can always find great upcoming shows with some of Canada's and the world's greatest musicians in a perfectly intimate setting. And this show would not be here without the Studio Live. And if you want to hear your list on the name of these sponsors or see it on our Facebook page or website or any of our posters around town, special events, we can add you as little as $10 a month. So just get in touch with us. And if you'd like to know more about what we talked about here today, we have some great book recommendations with our partner at Amazon. And we have some links and other things that you'll find on our website once we post the links to the episode.
All right. And we'd definitely like to thank our audience for joining us. And please feel free to leave any questions or comments with us on either our Facebook page at the Edible Valley Podcast. We love that, right?
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Edible Valley. And also take a few minutes to go through some of our interviews at theediblevalley.com.
Yeah.
And don't forget to, if you have to, email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you and get back from you. And we're also still working on our little blog podcast at theediblevalley@wordpress.com, which we sort of add a few more pictures and go a little bit more into depth, not too much more, about some of the interviews and some of the people we got to talk to. So
yeah. Yeah, that's where you'll find, you know, not just to be able to listen to the podcast, but see the pictures and see the recommendations and the recipes and all that stuff. So thanks.
Thanks for listening.